somebody you're working with. You may be sitting in the barber chair. You may be sitting in a grocery store. Yeah. Or you may be talking to your neighbor. Mm-hmm. It's not about the buildings. It's not about all the glitz and the glamour. Because you can go to hell going to church just as easy and go to hell not knowing Christ or not hearing the gospel. It's not going to church that's going to save you. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to save you. Hopefully the church is preaching Christ and winning souls. Really something to think about. Anyway, this morning, anybody else like to share with us what they got? Yes? Oh, no? Don't raise your hand and don't wink because you might be called up to say something. It's kind of like in an auction. Don't even breathe. Anybody this morning like to share with us? If not, I'm going to get on with this morning's message. Okay, so turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I mentioned before to you about in the Bible about being an example. And the key to being an example is we are here and we are examples in whole or in part. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what kind of example do I want to be? It's not a question of you being an example, it's a question of what kind. You have choices. You have kind A, kind B, kind C. And you pick out which one you want. You want to be good, bad, or in between. Which one you want to be. And everybody would say, I want to be the best. We always do excel to the best and do the best that we can. Christ has never called us to be bad. He has never called us to be poor. He's never called us to be the lousiest. He's never called us to the bottom. He's called us to the top. He tells and he looks at every one of his children. He says, aim high. He says, reach for the top. When you're in school, what does a teacher tell you? Reach for the stars. Why? Because everybody's at the bottom. You don't need to go. You do not need to do anything to be at the bottom. But the important thing is, if you want to excel and do something and go somewhere, you've got to what? Put yourself out there. You got to take chances. You got to take risks. You got to what? Scrub your knee, scrape your knees, hurt yourself, fall. You walking with Christ? Sometimes a little hard and you fall a little bit. You know what it is? If you don't pick yourself up, then you are a failure. But if you pick yourself up after you fall and you get going, you want to know something? You just get going from where you left off. So if you start aiming up a hill, you're going to get somewhere. Example in faith. An example in faith is what's the next part we want to look at. Now, being an example means, Paul says, brethren, be ye followers together as of me. I didn't give you this verse, so don't worry. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, look and see to which is better. Are they good examples or poor examples? And I always often found that out when I used to work in the bush. We used to have good workers and poor workers. And the boss always says, follow the good ones. Don't take bad habits from the other ones. And the other ones, why? Because guaranteed something would happen to them. They would hurt or they would not work well. So you want good examples. And what better place to find good examples but in the Bible? What better place is to look in the things of Christ to get our best examples? Now, I'll ask a question. What do you think being example in faith means? It's not a trick question. It's not something, what has he got up his sleeve to ask? What do you think being example in faith means? Believe and obey in the word, okay.
Living righteously.
Going to church every Sunday?
No.
Yeah.
Praying.
You follow denominational church doctrine means you're walking in your faith?
Yeah.
An example in faith?
Yeah.
Far too many use their religion as being an example of faith. And they use whatever church they walk in and say, oh, this is our faith, and this is what I believe, and this is what I do. And away they go. And they say, this is an example in faith. Well, I asked you what you thought. And really, when it all comes down to it, I don't care what you think. And it's not because I'm trying to be mean. It's because I don't care. You shouldn't care what I think. What you should care about is what the Word of God says. And that we agree with it. Now, why does that say that? You don't care what I think or what I feel? Well, we can think wrong. And we can think not right. So we have to look at it. Faith is not some feeling or religious steps that show us our faith. In other words, we have to go to a place to find out what it is. Mm-hmm. It is the same thing as I come into you and I'm going to teach you math and says, what 2 is 2 and 2? You say 89. So I ask the next child, he says, what's 2 and 2? And he says, 47. So I ask the next child, what's 2 and 2? And he says, 72. So I go to the next child and he says 56. Well, in religious ideology, when I go there and ask you, what do you think? He says one thing. He says, what do you think? He says one thing. You say that. He says, well, you're all right. No. We can be wrong in our thinking. 2 plus 2 is 4. I was going to say 22.
Yeah.
No. Simple little thing. But it seems so simple, yet we get it so wrong. So it's not a question of what we think. It's a question of what we think is to right and is it right. Because what do we want to do? We want to walk with Christ and we want to do the right thing. We want to be an example and we want to be a good example. So we want to be the right example. I don't want to be an example to what I think should be an example. Sometimes people like to pretend to be an example of faith, and they pretend their faith. So many people do that. If you can't exactly do it right, well, then just pretend, and maybe you can get by. You can wing it and whatever to a point, but eventually it catches up with you. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, the unfeigned means that it is not a pretend faith. It's not a pretentious faith. It is a real faith. Which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. It was passed down from a grandmother to the mother to the child. And this is how we should pass down God's good word. Now, the Bible talks about having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Do you realize the power to which we talk about is the power of God, which is faith? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Faith is a power. How do I know this? Well, the Bible says God framed the worlds. By faith, God framed the worlds. In other words, he caused these things to come into being by faith. He believed what he said was going to happen, and it took place. He spoke it, and there it was. I think that's what happened. So if we understand this, we begin to understand faith is a powerful. Faith is very powerful. Faith is something to which we constantly look at, but never really realize how important it is. Why does it work for some and not for others? Well, it's simple. Some turn it on, some don't. If you're not getting something right, find out why. A lot of times people say, it doesn't work, and that's it, and they throw up their hands and they walk away. No, what you got to do is, you know what? When I find out I'm not getting a result, I find out why. There's a reason why, because God's word can't lie to me. So immediately I go to it and I look. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, those who are not walking and those who are not example in faith, don't follow them. Faith is a power, and we see this truth unfold because what? As we go, we will see it because faith, the worlds were created. It's not my imagination. This is what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see it with your own eyes. So we have established the fact. The worst thing anybody can do is not walk in faith. That is the worst thing, because if we're not believing God's word, we're not going to get anywhere. Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 3 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." God spoke, and there it was. I like that. Faith is the power of God. So one would be wise to put their faith and trust in themselves or in God. No, I said, that's very simple, that's very easy. Then why don't we do it? Our faith in God is not faith in man. Faith in man is what? Thinking and thinking you are the one that knows it all, or you know so much. Your faith in man, you must consider what will happen if you do have faith in yourself or faith in man. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. You got to consider this, because we've been taught all our lives to what? Trust in ourselves. And in a sense, that's a way. You do have to have some kind of trust in yourself that you can do it. But you have to understand also that you are limited. And if you understand that you're limited, then your trust can go further, because you're going to put your trust into someone who is able to take you further. You will find that you are limited to what you can do in life. But God is unlimited. Jeremiah 17 verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Not that God curses you. In other words, you're just walking in something that ain't very good. And it's not a good thing. Every time we trust in man, trust in flesh, that's what we're talking about, we are disappointed. He fails us because he can always stay true. Even when he tries so hard not to break his word, he breaks his word. So why should we trust in ourselves? Because the Bible never tells you to trust in yourselves. It says trust in the living God. Always, always, always. Why? Because he cannot fail you. Your faith must be in God and not in man. And the Bible says your faith should not be in devils or idols. Idols cannot hear, nor speak, nor see. So idolatry is blind, deaf, and dumb. And that's when a person goes into idolatry and worships it, he literally shuts himself off, he becomes blind, deaf, and dumb. And if you're blind, deaf, and dumb, guaranteed something's going to happen to you. I don't care who it is, where you are, because you cannot see, you cannot hear, and you cannot say. So guess what? You become an obstacle, you become prey to anything that is out there. Nature itself teaches you, and nature itself shows you, when you go out there into the world, you find that in nature, what does the enemy go after? The weak, the sickly, and whatever. That's the first ones they go at, or the old. The ones, or the very, very young. Turn me to Daniel chapter 5. This is what Nebuchadnezzar and them were told. So I can understand why the Lord says, do not go into idolatry, do not make man an idol, because he is deaf, dumb, and blind. He cannot hear, he cannot see, and he cannot speak. Even though you hear him sitting there talking away, he's usually babbling away and not coming up with anything. And if you don't think so, why do you think they built the Tower of Babel? And to what end did it avail them? As if we are going to build our way to heaven and get there at the throne of God. Who are we fooling? There's a great gulf between us and him. And there's a reason why. But yet he has reached down and made a way for us to come to him on that bridge. Christ. Even though you can be such a great gap between you, yet he's ever so nigh and close to us. Daniel 5 verse 23 says this, "But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." Now, the only thing I want to get out of here is idols do not speak, they do not hear, and they do not know, neither do they see. See, well, how do people, when they go to that, they get into it because they get into dead things, which is another subject. But our God is very much alive, and he hears and sees all things. We sometimes kind of wish he didn't, but we do know this. Hebrews chapter 4. Our God is alive. He is not a dead God. He is not a God of wood, hay, and stone. He is not a God who stands there as a statue and does not speak nor hear. He is very much alive, and he very much speaks for himself. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, why is that? Why should we know that? For the simple reason, God knows everything about us, so why fool with him? And why try and fool him? Now, I can fool you, you can fool me, but him you cannot fool. God is not a man. Neither can he lie nor break his word to you. This being so, we can lay hold to him and his word with full assurance, knowing we will not be disappointed. So therefore, we understand that God is what? He's not a liar. He is true. He is faithful. What he says is what he does. Why is that so important? Because if we want to be examples in faith, we have to be examples in faith, and our faith must be in him. And if it's in him, then it must be in his word. Because he is his word. So therefore, the Bible talking about being an example in faith, we must be examples in faith, those who walk in his word. Turn me to Hebrews chapter 6. I think you got Hebrews 4. Go to verse 6, chapter 6. And watch this. Hebrews 6 verse 17 to 20 says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Why is this all said? For the simple reason, we have something anchored, we have something strong, we have something sure. To be an example of faith means you are rock solid in that which you believe. People have to see this. When you start bouncing around like the wind, like I've seen people being tossed to and fro here and there, it shows you that you waver. And it shows you waver, you have doubt. You have doubt of your faith. You have doubt of him who has redeemed you. And anybody that walks in that doubt can never be effectual as much as they could be. Remember, when we trust in God, we trust in his word. It's just a plain old simple basic truth. Because he is his word. And the word was made flesh. And he was true in all that he said and promised. So we must trust in all that Jesus Christ has said, because he will do it. I think that's how it works. Now turn me to John chapter 1, and I'll read a couple of verses here. Very, very simple truth. He is his word. So now if your faith is not based in his word and based in him, guess what? You being an example in faith is not a good example if it's not based in his word. Not on church doctrine. Not in your philosophy. Not in what you think 2 + 2 is, but exactly what it is. Because it is his gospel. It is his word. It is his doctrines. It is his grace. It is his faith. It's everything that he says is his. So John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God is his word. John 1, look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see that what? Shown forth in Christ. God manifest himself in Christ. Now go to John chapter 14. This is what Jesus said. This is not what Mario Prezan says. This is not what Joe Jack says. It's what Jesus says, and this is what we have to hold true to. Why? Because when we are going to believe in something, I think we should believe it with our whole heart and throw our whole heart into something which is true to believe. Now, every one of us here agree that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and he is the Savior. We believe this, and we believe this with all our heart. Now we can go forward to anything that Christ would have for us, because what? We are established on what? The truth and principles of Christ. The foundation of our life and our very hold, that which we hold to, because we are holding eternity. In other words, holding our eternity with that which he has said. We are believing what he's promising here. Even though you haven't received it, you are trusting him for it. Now, you can say about walking with God and trusting him, but yet you've trusted him with your eternal destiny. Why not trust him with the rest? You know, when you really think about it, we really, really think about it, let's trust him with everything. Because you know what? Eternity is a long time. I can't measure it. I just know it's forever. And yet I've put my trust in him that he is going to redeem me. And nothing that I did, nothing I'm going to do, but everything upon him, period. Look at John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not what anybody else said, but what Jesus said. It doesn't matter what religion or whatever you hook yourself into, for the simple reason. No man gets unto the Father but through Christ. Now look at verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now verse 8 says, Philip saith unto the Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What were they looking at, and to whom were they listening to? Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father are one. I am the Word manifested in the flesh, and everything that I tell you is of the Father, because there's no variance. In other words, if a child goes to mom and dad, I guarantee you, you're going to get two different opinions. Okay, when the parents figure this out, and it's always that, is they got to get down and say, okay, whatever I say, you got to be in agreement with me. Why? Because people will always go for a second opinion. But when you go into the Word of God, and when you speak to Christ, you find out there's no variance. In other words, there's no other opinions here. It's the same. Now look at verse 9. Jesus saith to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? Look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Look at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. But let's go on. Verily, verily, I say unto he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why do you think it's always told to you, pray in the name of Jesus and ask the Lord to meet your needs? Why do you think when we say the works that Christ did shall we do also? What is it based upon? It's not based upon Joe Blow's philosophy. It's not based upon some fellow who happened to wake up one morning and got this great idea. It's based upon that which Christ has said. We base this, in other words, Jesus said the works that he did, we can do also. And it's proclaimed in Mark, and it's also established all the way through the Bible. Why do we say that? Because if we're going to be an example in faith, your faith must be there. And that not only what you walk in, but that what you believe and that what you do. So to be an example of faith, one should believe God and his word. That's pretty simple. You trust him. Pretty simple. You accept him at his word and you don't doubt it. Because if you're going to be an example in faith, you can't have doubt. Because if you have doubt, it makes your being an example, well, I'm really not sure about this and I really don't know and whatever happens. Thus, to truly be an example, one is to walk in the Word and the Word being a part of your life, not some religious piety or holier-than-thou attitude. And because I am on the church board or I go to church and I go to this place and we have a great big building and we have all these people and we have all these functions, does not mean you're an example in faith. All it means is you're doing whatever. I cannot read in the Bible where it says Jesus said to start up a PTA club. And the reason why I say that is nothing wrong with doing a PTA club. Just don't say that Jesus told you to do this. If you wanted to do it, do it. You want to be a lawyer, be a lawyer. Nothing wrong with that. You want to be an entrepreneur or whatever. But certain things that said, this is what Christ, he will bless you, and he'll bless you in that work that you do. But don't try and pass it off and say, well, this is my calling of God. What did Christ call us? He called us to preach the gospel. Let's look at these things and call them as they are. Nothing wrong with doing whatever. Nothing wrong with being good to people. Nothing wrong with helping people. But it's everything to say, oh, this is all I have to do, or this is what's going to my little thing. And it doesn't work like that. Neither is one just to have faith. Your faith must be in someone. This is my faith. What's your faith? Well, I don't know. Well, then you have faith in yourself, and you believe yourself, and you believe whatever you put into your head, and this is what you walk in. I don't care who it is or what it is. If you have faith, you've got to have faith in someone or something. You've got faith in the system. You've got faith in whatever. Faith is important. Don't ever kid yourself. Because without faith in the Lord, we are totally lost. And the reason why I said in the Lord is because if my faith is in anything else, I am of all men most miserable. Now, if you don't think so, you look at some religions and show me a smiling face. Well, the only way I'm going to get to heaven is blow myself up. Become a martyr. Or I can get reincarnated. I could come back as a worm, a fly, a dog, a cat. And hopefully somewhere in all these reincarnations over the years, I come out something better than I am. It's all these things. Or your good works. In other words, you've been good all your life, that's going to get you into heaven. So it becomes a false thing to you. Faith is important, but faith in someone is more important, and faith in something, it becomes very, very vital. And that something must be his word, to which he says, and your faith in him. So in other words, faith in the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have only hope in this life, you are of men, not just miserable, but most miserable. You're the most miserable bunch. And the reason why we say that is because, look, think about it. You ever see somebody trying to work for salvation? He's not a happy camper. If you don't think so, go ask some Jehovah's Witnesses who thinks they might be one of the 144,000. No, it's not a nice thing doing this, because these people are very sincere in what they're doing. They're very sincere because they want to go to heaven just as bad as you do. That's why they're out every week, pounding the pavement, looking for people and trying to do whatever, because they're trying to do something, figuring this is going to get them. It's the same phase the fellow shows up to church every night and every day, and he reads his Bible and everything else because he figures that's going to get him into heaven. Or people who lock themselves away, or jihadists and whatever else in the Islamic religion, they believe that they are going to go to heaven this way. Most miserable lot, but that's what they are doing. You've got joy and happiness in you, and you see that in you, because you want to know what? That joy no man taketh from you. Christ has made you a promise, and you believe his word, and oh, it's so good. Be thou an example in faith. In other words, believing and walking that which you have. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We can go a whole week on that one part, being miserable. And I found that out when I first got saved, what it was like. And I found out when I realized, and it was brought to my heart and shown to me in the Word, that Christ has redeemed me and it's nothing to do with what I've done, that he has saved me. I didn't go looking for him, and I knew this. I knew this, I didn't go looking for him. If I didn't go looking for him and he saved me, then he doesn't want me, then I have to do this and do that. I say, well, what's the point with him? You know, I might as well go back the way I was. At least I know I was going to hell in a very quick hurry, and I might as well go back, because you know what? Trying to follow him and doing whatever this, and that's going to keep me into heaven, and he might not like me and he might not be happy. If I go and sin, I get thrown out. Well, then, oh my goodness. You know, I'm dead in the water. I don't have a chance. You know, it's kind of like Luther when he was going up the stairs and praying and on his knees, and he said, the just shall live by faith, not by works. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a revelation. Look at the reformation that they made with that revelation, the just shall live by faith. What are you living by? What are you an example of? Works or faith? Our hope in Christ is for life everlasting, puts joy unspeakable in our hearts. That's what puts it in you. John 15. You say, well, some people don't agree. Well, I know. Miserable bunch, aren't they? I say they're miserable because they try to make your life miserable. Because somehow they think it's their self-righteousness. Somehow they think it's their goodness that has gotten them there. How dare the Lord come looking for me? I looked for you, buddy. And I'm blessing you with me. You ever see some people's attitude? I don't want to be there in judgment day telling them that. John 15, verse 11. Look at this. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What is that? He went to prepare a place for you, that one day he will come for you. You can rest in those assurances that when you die, you rest and you have that hope in you that one day Jesus is going to call you from the grave and you're going to meet him in the air and you're going to forever be with him. This faith lifts you up out of the muck and mire. This faith makes you accountable unto Christ, because you're not that you won't see him, that you're going to see him. Also, faith will move mountains. Faith will cause mountains to be moved for you. This is the faith, same faith that the worlds were made, the same faith that God has given you. Believing for the fantastically impossible to come to pass. You passing from death unto life is one of the most impossible things that could ever happen, and yet it's happened for you. So our example of faith must be more than the natural faith that the world walks in. We must have the faith of God, in which we receive for him, because our faith is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, In other words, it's a gift of God. God gave it to us. He gave you the faith to believe him. This faith is far more greater than natural faith, because a person says, you know what, I'm going to live forever, and he dies. But the faith that I have of God says, I am going to live forever, though my body be destroyed, yet I shall live, because his word is true to me. That faith, I will live forever. There's a far more great difference. There's a natural and dead faith, and then there is the real, true, and living faith. Be thou an example in faith does not mean be a pretend faith, be a natural faith, but be walking in a true, literal faith that God has and things happening. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we put faith in God and faith in his word, because they are the same. Why? Because to say you believe God, don't know what he says, doesn't do very good for you. You have to what? In other words, you have to say, this is what you told me. Not only are you to believe Christ, you are supposed to believe in Christ and what he says. He said he was the Son of God. I believe it. He said he was my Redeemer. I believe it. A lot of people acknowledge Christ as being the Son of God. But unless they accept him as Savior and believe on him, they are not saved. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 11. When we put faith in his wonderful and glorious word, oh, things happen. We put faith in him, wonderful and glorious things take place. Mountains are moved, victories are won, and miracles take place. Be thou an example in faith. Mark 11, verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, it's one thing saying it, it's another thing it happening. Well, it happened with Joshua. Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. And it stopped about a whole day, and he avenged himself upon their enemies. Why do you think it's in there? It's also in the history book of Josephus. Turn me to Joshua chapter 10. Why do I want to show it to you? For the simple reason. Faith moves the hand of God. Faith can and does move mountains. When you pray in faith and you ask in his name and you believe, no matter what obstacle, what thing is up against you, you can overcome, whether it be sin, sickness, death, some snare, some difficulty, some problem, whatever it may be, whatever your need is. I said need, I didn't say want. I want a lot of things, but I know what I need. God knows what I need. And sometimes we need to go through trials and tribulations. I know I don't want trials and tribulations. I don't pray for them. Oh, Lord, give me another thrashing, or Lord, give me another hard time. No. Lord, just give me enough strength to live to the next day. But we say needs and we say wants. Why do we say this? Why do we talk about this? Because to be an example of faith means you have to overcome. And you should overcome. And you should be victorious. And you should be looking to receive of these things. Not only as an example to others, but also those examples to you, for you were able to rise up in faith and go forward. Joshua 10, verse 12 to 14 says this, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still. Now I don't know about you, but every day I see the sun go up, and every day I see the sun go down. Say, can this really happen? Well, if we're living and moving and walking around this planet, and we believe God done it, do you not think the sun couldn't stand still? Do you not think a man could stop the sun and the moon if God so has given him power to do so? The same faith that created heaven and earth is the same faith to which Joshua used to command the sun and moon stand still. It's the same faith that Jesus, when he cast out devils and healed the sick, is the same faith that we do, because he's given us power and authority in his name. Be thou an example in faith. Well, our faith should be shown forth by that which we walk in and that which we receive and the victories that we have. So verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed upon the until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? I said Josephus, but it was Jasher. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before or after, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. God's on your side. He's not your enemy. How often we are told to believe, how often we don't listen. And everyone would have to say, you know what, anybody guilty here? Everybody would have to raise their hand. Preacher, child of God, doesn't matter. Does it make it right? No. This ought not to be. The Bible says we are a victorious people because we are on the Lord's side. Not that the Lord is on our side. We are on his side. Those who believe are rewarded because of their faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, fine, go ahead. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards your faith every time you come in faith. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what situation you're in. Every time you come believing to God, it's not based of how good or whatever, because even the man and the most backslidden believer cries out to God, oh God, help me, and believes what he says, you know what? He gets help. Why? God's not a respecter of persons. But when others see your faith in action, here is, be thou an example in faith, and how your faith in the Lord Jesus changes things and changes you, and how you are able to become victory, then they will see that there is hope for them. Jesus did the miracles not for himself, not to prove who he was, but for them, people to see God in him, and that God was there to meet their needs and for those people to receive. It is one thing for you to say you believe. It's another thing to show the results of your faith. The Bible, you know, we always talk, the proof is always in the pudding. And we always hear that little phrase. Proof of what you have, not what you say you have. When a person comes to me and says, yes, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I say to them, really? Then you spoke in tongues. No. I said, well then, you know, there is such a thing as an evidence. Just the same thing as when I'm born again, I believe, I've experienced the new life. This is not some joke, this is not some imagination. And when I believe, things do transpire, things do take place, miracles do happen, God has met my needs. You know, when the woman was running out of food, the barrel of meal never wasted, neither did the cruse of oil. In other words, they had food continually, even when there was nothing left. I've seen that in my own life. Wondering how am I going to go from one day to the next, not even having work and whatever, and I can go on a whole big spill, and I seen it where God said, I promised you I would meet your needs, and he met my needs. Money didn't pour out from heaven, but God provided every time. And that's what you got to look at. Why? Because your faith is not on man. Your faith got to be in him. Him who is able to meet your needs and what his word says. James chapter 2 says this, if we turn there. James chapter 2. And I find it so wonderful when others come and give testimonies of what Christ has done for them. I rejoice in that because you know what? If he did it for them, he'll do it for me. That's how I look at it. If God blessed them, he's going to bless me. God made promises. And if he made it to the children of Israel and I see him fulfill his promises, then he'll do it for me because I'm one of his children. James 2 verse 17 says this, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, faith in nothing produces nothing. I got faith, fine. If a man says, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. In other words, I'll show you the evidence, my product. Those who walk in faith are those who are called faithful. Those who don't walk in faith are unfaithful. I think that's how it works. The Bible says, be thou an example in faith. So it means we should be faithful. Faithful to his word, faithful to that which he's called us to do, and faithful to do those things. And if you see that, if you're faithful to the God whom you serve, others will see you as men and women of faith, able to overcome, defeat the enemies of righteousness. And guess what? It's going to do great things. Remember this. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. If he's the author and finisher of our faith, is he not his word? Is it not his word, not your word? Here's the example we are called to be. Turn me to Hebrews chapter 12. Here's the example we are called to be. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll just take you through a couple things here as we come toward the end. Hebrews 12 verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If he's the author and finisher of our faith, then everything is about Christ for our faith and his word and what he says. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross. In other words, the Bible says, pick up your cross and follow him daily. So in other words, your faith must be to walk as he did. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, you go through all that he went through. If they called him a devil and they said all this about him and all that, if you want to be an example of faith, then you got to do what he did. Your faith is a pillar and a foundation of your salvation in Christ. Without it, we're lost. We understand this. People must see that faith in your life and it bearing forth fruit. Telling people you're an example of faith, then you must be living that faith. You won't be disappointed and you won't be ashamed because the faith that you possess and walk in, it's a good example. Excel in faith. We live by faith. That's what the Bible says. If we are to live by faith, let us walk by faith. Romans 1. You want to be strong in Christ Jesus? Of course I want to be strong in Christ Jesus. Who doesn't? Who wants to be weak? But you got to be strong in faith, not strong in flesh. Romans 1 verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's how we live. Why? You're dead. At Calvary, you were slain and your carcass was hung on a tree. Now we live by the power of God. So therefore we are in examples of faith. Faith, as I said earlier, makes you strong in Christ Jesus. Abraham, our father, was a man who was strong in faith. Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 17 to verse 24. And it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able also to perform, and therefore is imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, will also quicken your mortal bodies, will also do the very same blessings and promises he made to Abraham, he will give to you. When do you think you have to believe and walk in it? Your faith in Christ Jesus and faith in his word will keep the devil away from you. Be thou an example in faith. 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Guess what? You probably could be on the lunch plate, the menu. The four best favorites Satan likes to eat, his four main entrees. Born again Christian, one walking with God, backslidden. He's a little tastier. Ever notice how rotten things always seem to taste sweeter? It's true. Go get a piece of fruit, and it's the sweetest when it's very, very ripe. Get it when it's too early, and it's kind of a tardy taste. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, if you make yourself strong in faith, walk in that word, you make you strong, and if you're an example unto others, guess what? You'll be a pillar and not a branch or a broken reed, like those who leaned on Egypt. Everybody that leaned on Egypt got pierced because they were not able to withstand or withhold them and hold them up. The example in faith causes you to forsake all things in the world. I know it's an old story, but it's the same one. We got the same problem we've had way back. And I don't care where you come from and where you were. I don't care how long ago you were living. You had the same problem as you got today. Sin, flesh, and the devil. Adam had it. Eve had it. Noah had it. David had it. All the other people in the wilderness had it. So what makes you anything different? So, example causes you in faith, an example in faith causes you to forsake all things in the world and to walk in the ways of Christ. And walking in the ways of Christ are not hard. Love your brother. Do good unto them. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Kind and affectionate one to another. Not backbiting. Being honest. Your faith is seen by your walk. The Bible says about purifying your hearts by faith, which is a good thing. You want to walk a clean, good, and holy life, you got to purify it by faith. How does that work? Well, simple reason is you got to have faith in something. And your faith must be in the Word. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. That's one I'm going to leave it at. Acts chapter 15, I mean, not 19. Now, there's so much you can go into about faith. And I've only touched on a few little things as we go through one little lesson. But it's enough to stir our hearts, to put us on the track to what Christ would call us to do. Walk in his word, to believe it and do it, and expect that these things will accomplish victories in your life. You got difficulties? Doesn't matter what they are. Family's got difficulties? You know how many people have always said, you know, grandma prayed for so long for so-and-so, and eventually, even after she died, it came to pass? God hears our prayers. God knows our faith. What do you want to be an example in? Acts 15 verse 9 says, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Let us be examples of faith and in faith. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth and your light. Lord, bless each and every heart that they may go forward, being great examples in faith, Lord, as being like those in Hebrews chapter 11, the entire chapter, speaking of great men and women of faith who went through so many things, but they were so victorious, Lord, that we may be part of them and glorifying you, Lord, and being a great testimony unto others, that others may come to know you as we know you, Lord, that you are a great and a mighty God, who is a great Redeemer, who truly loves us and has great mercy and pity for thy people. And you're always looking to help us, and you would never leave us or forsake us. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God.